96.9 FM. Fresh news, smart talk, all day. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good morning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, a smart talk all day. It is Monday the 19th of July 2021, and that means you're on the clock with Erin Green. On the clock, we engage organizations, institutions, social and cultural leaders, and ordinary people to better understand the impact of public policy, private sector development, and emerging social and consumer trends. On the clock, we have conversations that help us understand and navigate a rapidly changing Bahamas. Today's show is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. And let's start the show off with a message from the Department of Inland Revenue about the Hurricane Supply VAT holiday. The government has made it more affordable for individuals to safeguard their property this hurricane season with the Hurricane Supplies VAT holiday. All qualifying hurricane supplies purchased locally between July 9th and 31st are zero rated. Visit inlandrevenue.bahamas.gov.bs to obtain a detailed list of supplies. This message is brought to you by the Department of Inland Revenue. Well, good morning, Bahamas. Today is Monday, and my guest today is Ms. Deborah Deal from the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation. And we are talking what's in the news. We're talking hurricane preparedness and tips to prepare and take advantage of the VAT holiday before the end of the month. We are also talking energy conservation and, more importantly, how to protect your appliances and property from scheduled and unscheduled power outages. So get a little bit of what's in the news first. Oh, but let me start with the housekeeping. If you want to join this conversation, remember, we're streaming live audio and video on guardiantalkradio.com. You can listen on TV on Cable Bahamas Channel 969 or Flow Channel 612. Or you can download the Guardian Radio app for your Apple or Android smart devices and listen to our audio feed or watch us on our video feed right there on the Guardian Radio app. Or you can text us on the Guardian Radio text line. That's 422-GR96. That's 422-4796. That's powered by BTC. Standard text rates apply. Or you could call us at 323-6232. That's 323-6232. Or 325-4316. Or 325-4259. If you want to replay, catch up on, or rewatch or listen to any of the shows over the last few months, or in particular over the last couple of weeks, our independent shows, you can go to on-the-clock-with-erin-green-dotcasters.com. Or you can go to the Guardian, you can go to Spotify or YouTube and search the Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or enter the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to www.guardiantalkradio.com and clicking the podcast tab. So you could check out Mr. Miller, Mr. Strawn, Ms. Black, Mr. McCartney, Mr. Lang. You can catch all of these shows whenever you have time to do it. Well, my people, well, good morning, Ms. Deal. How are you?
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me, and good morning, Bahamas. It's a lovely Monday out there today.
Yes, absolutely. Yes. And it's always a good time to talk about hurricane prep and to talk about, even in election season, that's a good time to talk about it.
Yes, it's a distraction.
Yeah.
Yes.
Even though it may be that hurricane season is not a good time to talk about election. But guess what? The Olympics officially start on Friday. Right. Opening games are on Friday, and some games start on Wednesday, this Wednesday, right? The Bahamian Olympic team is in place, and so I think some members are still on their way, right, to the stadium.
Yeah, very brave people to travel in this COVID environment to actually do that, to represent the country and themselves. Very proud of them. Very, very proud.
And I'm going to remind you and tell you what my Grammy tell me. You going there on a mission. So be about your business and then pee and go to bed. I think that's the safest thing for everybody.
I agree.
Also, I expect you all to submit my formal petition to include porking in the Olympics. We're not just world track and field stars, you know. We are also porking champions of the world. And we should be able to show that off at the Olympics. There's plenty of things in the news today, Deborah. But just before we get there, let me just say this. In case you didn't notice, because apparently somebody stole all the detour signs and all the construction zone signs, right? There is roadworks going on between the Hilton and Nassau Street. And there's not one sign anywhere. So I want to ask people to avoid that area unless they absolutely have to be there. Let me tell you why. Because some people like to park their car on the sidewalk by Bay Street Medical. And I would hate for those people to have to walk into not just a construction zone, but into road works to traverse the road safely. I just wonder what is happening in that area. What is up with traffic enforcement? What is up with the downtown development partnership? What agencies can we rely on to enforce the traffic controls in that area?
I got stuck there Friday evening and didn't realize.
Yeah.
And I went through, and of course, all of a sudden you come to a screeching halt, but there's nowhere to turn around. So I kind of had to reverse a little bit and go the wrong way through that road that would take you to Virginia Street.
Yeah.
Yes, I ended up having to do that. Phew. I thought I might have to sleep over.
Yeah, you see what I'm saying? But a simple detour sign, people, simple, or officers posted at appropriate spots to direct people around.
Yeah, they were getting ready to do paving. So there was a whole bunch of big trucks and lots of big lights in that area at the time. Yeah,
I don't know exactly where they're paving, but I think they're grading the road, right?
Yeah.
So let's help them out by avoiding that area, especially if it starts to rain.
Yeah.
Especially also, there are roadworks taking place. When I say that, I didn't see anybody waking, but the road is dig up. So there's evidence of work at the Shirley Street and Village Road intersection, just east of that. So please be careful when you're flying down the Eastern Road and coming around that curve. Be prepared to slow down. What I mean is, be prepared to operate at the proper speed, right? Like, just be prepared to do the right thing.
Right. Water and sewerage are there doing some repair and replacement work, yes.
Right. And hopefully they will be moving west along Shirley Street to fix the leak on Shirley Street East, just outside of the Harbor Bay Plaza. There are no trees there, so I don't know why we water in the road. But it is the best watered road.
Are you sure that didn't happen from that car accident the other day where the lady smashed into that stone wall?
Oh, on Eastern Road as well.
No. This was just before you... The very beginning of Harbor Bay, the native stone wall, a lady drove into that, and she and a male person were on the ground.
Yeah, no.
Yeah, they were hurt very badly.
Oh boy.
Yeah, I know. I felt so bad.
And that may have delayed any works that they were getting ready to
maybe,
do.
Maybe, I don't know.
There was also another horrible accident on the Eastern Road, right before you get to Dick's Point, right across from the Montague foreshore. You can see the evidence of debris in the road, the car debris, yeah. But more
noticeable. The wrought iron wall.
The fence on top of the wall.
How do you hit that going that? How do you hit sideways when you're going straight ahead?
Well, it involves hitting the helicopter button. Let me just say that. It involves hitting the helicopter button.
I don't have one of those. Okay.
But here's what I noticed, right? Because it's been there the whole weekend. Mm-hmm. Who is responsible for clearing the debris from the accident? Right? Who is responsible for cleaning the road? In Britain, police officers, right? The initial scene of contact, they will come out. If it's minimal debris, they'll clean it up. Otherwise, an accident response team will come in and clean it up.
Yeah, I don't know, because that would be a private wall with their insurance. I don't even know. That's a very good question.
But the car in the road, right?
And you can see, that's a very good question.
Here's why it matters. People think, oh, Aaron, here's why it matters. Because who is responsible if that debris causes another accident? Who is then responsible for that, right? Mm-hmm. And then it takes us to hurricane prep and restoration. And we ask ourselves, who is responsible for what in this process of restoration after the hurricane?
Well, I have always believed that you have to be responsible for your own property unless you are renting or leasing, right? And then you need to have a good conversation with your landlord, because you need to make sure that that person is going to take care of your needs as well as their needs, because their needs would be the outside of the building. You as the tenant would need to take care of your inside by having, you know, contents insurance, that type of thing. But you need to make sure that somebody is going to do the outside hurricane preparedness, like putting up the shutters, right? If there is a generator, making sure the generator is maintained and that type of thing. Because after a hurricane, it's really not the government's job to be building people's houses or fixing people's houses. It's all great that they do make that offer, but it really is your own. Nobody would come to my house. I can guarantee you, if my roof blew off, no one's going to come to my house and redo my roof for me. I know that. So I have to make sure that if I don't have insurance, which I don't, life happened and I'm just in that situation, that I have enough money set aside for a roof.
Yeah.
And I make sure that before the hurricane, I've already made sure that I have ice and water shield in my storage room, that I have, I use Flex Seal as a spray, that I have that, and that I have plastic to cover everything in my house to make sure that anything that's in there would not get damaged. And I make sure that I have all of this, because after the storm, if it's hard to get stuff the day before the storm, can you imagine after? And then now we have this problem with the containers in China,
right?
Problem. So where are we going to get the materials from? And even after a storm, it's a good week before large ships are coming from Florida or anywhere else, because there's so much debris in the water you have
right.
to be careful of.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, actually saying, well, I don't have to worry about it. The government will come through, or an NGO will come through, or, you know, something like that, or a nonprofit organization will come through. Dorian has proven to us that it's almost 2 years later that some people are still living in tents, and some people, you know, have still blue tarpaulins on the roof, and it's not going to happen. And if it does, it's going to happen slowly. So do you want to take care of yourself, or do you want to have to be taken
reliant
care
on.
Of on someone else? I never want to have to rely on anybody else.
And let's be pragmatic and realistic. Uh-huh. If you're looking at government systems and you're seeing them in a state of dysfunction or failing, it's good to critique. It's good to look at the systems and figure out how to fix them. But it also means that, you know, now you also need to focus on being able to take care of your most basic needs.
Right. Well, actually, if you think about it, the last 3 years, you know, Ragged Island is still
in recovery,
and that's 4 years, right? We've had Dorian.
Well, so Joaquin, the Long Islanders.
Right, the Long Islanders, yes. And then Dorian, which Grand Bahama and Abaco. Plus, we've had COVID. Mm-hmm. We had an entire basic year where things were basically shut down and very little happened and very little money coming into the government, right?
Yeah.
So how can we expect, you know, if it was just your family, right? And let's say your parents were not working for a year and the kids were still there, how would the mortgage get paid? How would the rent get paid? How would the food get put on the table, right? How would school fees get paid? How would any of those things get done? You know, how can you possibly expect someone who does not have it to actually do it? So we really have to take a little bit more responsibility, and we have to actually think beyond ourselves and think about what is going on with, say, the government or with other people. How can we actually make this work for ourselves? And I really believe that we need to start thinking more about being our brother's keeper.
Absolutely.
And especially as it comes to COVID, because in my estimation it's good to think about yourself. Like, when my grandkids were going back to school, I thought, well, if I ever want to see them again, I better get vaccinated. So I did. I wanted to make sure of that. I didn't want to get sick. But I also wanted to make sure that I wasn't in a position where I could actually make someone else sick. And there's so many vulnerable people out there. And if we're only thinking about our own self and not thinking about being our brother's keeper, I think that's why we see people who are just insistent on having parties and, you know, Friday on the same journey to find out that I was stuck on Bay Street.
Yeah.
There's a plaza just east, just west of Kentucky Fried Chicken. And they had a party going on there. There was cars everywhere. And I saw two masks as I drove by. And these people were all, there was like 10 people sitting on a picnic table. Now these people have to go home.
Mm-hmm.
They have to go home. They have to relate to other people. Are they not thinking about the fact that other people could possibly get sick and die from
right.
this and
that,
have been?
Then you may not be vulnerable.
Right. Look at like Saturday, there was 100 people. 82 of them were in Nassau. Mm-hmm. Right?
In fact, I was in the food store this morning on mm-hmm. the way to the station at the deli, right, getting some breakfast.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm trying to maintain 5 to 6 feet behind the people in front of me. A couple walks up behind me, and I realized they're right over my shoulder looking at the food. So I step forward a foot to give them space, not to step forward, you know, but sort of to lean and look. They take me moving forward a step as an indicator for them to follow me a step, right? And so then I say, okay, it's only a few seconds. Don't say anything yet. And when I look up again, one member of the party is on my right-hand side. The other member of the party is now on my left-hand side. Mm-hmm. And they're both now leaning in to look at the deli.
Mm-hmm.
And I could turn, and I'm close enough to lean and give either one of them a kiss on the cheek.
Lord.
Which is a clear indicator that everybody is too close to me. Because you know, when you become old and miserable, when little children could sneak in and hug you, your defenses is go off, right?
Right.
So I look at both of them, and I'm hoping that just staring at them for 5 seconds will indicate to them that I am uncomfortable
uh-huh.
and not happy. And they look at me like, what's wrong with me?
Yeah, they're in their own bubble.
So what I wanted to do was take off my mask and cough. Because maybe it's the risk that I represent to them that will cause them to change their behavior.
Right.
And not the perceived risk that they represent to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they don't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they care enough about themselves. Of course, I didn't take off my mask. But I said to them, do you really need to be this close to me? And they both looked at me as if they were offended that I didn't want them that close to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I said, are you guys not concerned?
Well, they just came in that, you know, there was a space shuttle that went up, right?
Yeah.
And I think they just came to Earth in that and didn't realize that for the last year there's been this COVID thing where we've had to keep 6 feet apart and wear masks and give people personal space.
I wish it was that, but I think it's more problematic than that.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was that.
No, but, you know, that would be great if it could just be blind ignorance, right? Like, I just didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
But I think what it is that the crisis that the pandemic represents
mm-hmm.
is not larger than the personal crisis that people perceive, feel like they are in their personal lives.
Right.
Right?
Unfortunately, well, it's human beings like to have freedom, right? And we like to feel like we are free to make our own choices and mm-hmm. make our own decisions. And that in a perfect world is exactly how human beings should be. But with this last year, and this is not something that just happened to the Bahamas. This happened around the entire world. Mm-hmm. So it's not like, you know, the pause button was just for the Bahamas. It was for the entire world. And we've seen so many stories. And I could tell you personal stories where people that I know and were very close with have died because they weren't told that the person that they were dealing with had COVID or somebody else brought it into the house. That's sad. Mm-hmm. You know, yes, we do have people die every year from cancer and from heart attacks and car accidents and many other things. But this is something that we don't really have a total handle on yet. And we actually need to start taking care of not only ourselves, but the other people around us. Mm-hmm. And if we don't do that, we're going to be in the same situation that some of these other countries are in.
And Deborah, what I say to people is whether you believe in the virus or not,
correct.
Whether you believe or not, mm-hmm. root yourself in the practice of empathy and mm-hmm. spatial awareness, right?
Right.
And act as if it is real mm-hmm. and to protect the most vulnerable around you.
Right, but do you see how few people have been getting colds and flu this year? Because mm-hmm. we have actually, we're actually
behavior
taking...
Behavior modification
right,
has
we're
taken
taking
place.
Better care of ourselves. Yeah. We're being more conscious of the fact that there are germs out there. You know, we've been so... things have just been so easy that we haven't really had to think about it. And the last year, we actually have. And I'm really grateful for that, to be perfectly honest. The mm-hmm. fact that, you know, everybody goes into, I don't care how small or big they are, they go into a place and they automatically put the hand sanitizer in. Mm-hmm. They get back in their car and they do their hand sanitizer and they do their steering wheel, right? Even kids go, I need my hand sanitizer. I love that.
Absolutely. So we got some texts here.
Oh, good.
Right. The first text says, great show as usual. Thank you. The corona cases have skyrocketed. Yes. Can you do a survey for me and tell me how much white people... How much black people, how much Chinese, and how many Indians have COVID? And I bet you one KFC family meal that more than 80% of the cases are black, I think, in the Bahamas.
Well, that's kind of a silly, I'm not trying to be facetious, but the large percentage of population in this country is, I think, 90% of...
African descent.
Correct.
Black.
And 10% would be...
Right,
light,
so you would see a larger
like
percentage
me.
Of cases.
Obviously, you have to, unless all the white people are out there getting sick, which would not really make sense. I mean, I think everybody would equally be taking care of their own self and family.
Yeah, and he says that black Bahamians don't understand social responsibility, right? And we have to be all up on each other. But I think that's a misreading text of the cultural and social dynamic. So let me show you one thing, right? First of all, when your systems are dysfunctional, right? When you live in a culture where you got more than three songs about tipping for services, right? Mm-hmm. People understand that the impetus is on them. The burden is on them to try their hardest to get what they need from the system. So a person like me, when I see a back trunk open in a parking lot, I want to know what you're selling out of there. And I may have to poke my head in a little close to see what in there. I know a bunch of people come in to see what in the thing. It's not that we're not socially responsible, you know. It's that many of us know that beautiful things are hidden in back trunks sometimes. Sometimes it's a plate of food, mm-hmm. right? Sometimes it's a discount goods. But don't automatically think that it's because people are lazy. For instance, in the deli this morning, right? I didn't entirely run hot. You know why? Because things run out, and we were at that time of the day. Like, if you come in for a couple specific things, they may be gone. Yeah. And I could see the person who wants pancakes trying to take a peep in to see if there are enough pancakes or if they need to sort of try and throw their hand up early and say, hey, I want pancakes, you know. Say, right? Like, there are other things that motivate our behavior. So, Texter, don't just say that black people are not responsible. look at the factors that may be motivating their behavior.
Well, you know what's in warm island states, right?
Mm-hmm.
Your life is different. One thing I loved about the Bahamas is the fact that my kids could play outside 12 months of the year.
Yeah.
Right? I didn't have to worry about, you know, there was very little time where the kids actually had to stay inside and try to amuse themselves, right? Mm-hmm. And we're like that. You go through almost any neighborhood and you'll see people playing dominoes, right? This is the kind of lifestyle that we've always lived, right? And more so in the family islands, you don't live in your house, you live outside of your house, right? The kitchens used to be in a separate area. So that's how we grew up. So we do have that kind of history in how we live, but we're not like the party that I was telling you about where there was like at least 150 people in an area that really only had 20 or 30. No, I don't know if it's defiance or it's, oh my gosh, I get a chance to go out and I'm going out and not thinking about it until later when I get sick.
And so it's a couple of things. It's joy of being around people after feeling so isolated. And we discount the psychological and emotional impact that this pandemic has had on people. Mm-hmm. We've discounted entirely the need, the joy that human contact and interaction
it's important.
Represents,
it's so important.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a part of it. But that point you make about us being outdoor people, mm-hmm. right? This is so important to how we live. And so imagine now the impact, the psychological impact on a shelter-in-place order.
Right.
Or lockdown.
Oh, I know. It was difficult. I mean, a lot of people really had issues with that.
Yeah.
And I was a little concerned of what if I ran out of something. I thought, well, okay, I'm just going to have to, you know, I'm pretty good at, you know, skinning mm-hmm. the cat in a different way. But just the fact that I wasn't able to see my kids or see my grandkids, it was kind of lonesome. I live alone.
Yeah.
So, of course, I just figured, well, listen, I got all this time. I'm going to start doing all the things in my house that I haven't done, you know, like all the maintenance things that needed to be done. And that's basically what I did to keep myself busy and occupied.
Yeah.
And then there's always movies. And that was basically what. But still, the fact that you're inside, because what are you going to do? You're going to go outside by yourself? I mean, I would sit outside because I have a pond. I would sit on a bench by the pond in the morning and just watch nature. But, you know, it's not going to be something you're going to do all day alone, mm-hmm. you know?
And so, you know, it's important. We have to be concerned about the behavior, right?
We do.
There was a rush out this weekend mm-hmm. accompanying a funeral of mm-hmm. a Junkanoo member.
Uh-huh.
And the images, nobody, I mean, very few people were wearing masks in the images that I saw. Very few people were social distancing. Mm-hmm. I saw pictures of a PLP candidate on the streets campaigning. I saw some images of F&M candidates doing their thing. There are not enough masks on. No real social distancing taking place.
Remember last July when a couple of people went to Florida and then they came back and then they went to a funeral in Abaco and then it just, boom.
Yeah.
It was just like a big bomb, boom.
And so when we talk about managing behavior, we have to acknowledge what is motivating behavior. And if we don't acknowledge how important these psychological and emotional factors are, right?
Mm-hmm.
What people are compelled to do to find that joy, that human contact, and to feel as if they are alive, the government really has to focus on dealing with those issues if they're going to be able to encourage or compel behavioral shifts.
Right, and let's try to do your thing and relate it to energy conservation when
Absolutely.
We get back.
When we get back from the break. Thank you, Kermit. Hey, to my audience, I hope you've enjoyed the conversation so far. When we get back to the break, we are going to talk about the sort of same behavioral shifts and how to prepare yourselves for the summer heat because it is just getting started, people. Anyway, stay tuned to 96.9 FM Guardian Radio. We'll be right back.
life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
Like what you're hearing on the show? Want to support the conversation? Sponsor On the Clock today. Call Janet Lees at 302-2304. That's 302-2304. Be the solution. Sponsor On the Clock with Aaron Green, where she dissects, we discuss, and you decide.
I've been representing all my life. I'm getting ready to make it count this time. Since it's 2021 for your family line, you better get ready. It's about that time. So tell mama to be ready. Tell it to the whole family. The ones that don't want you, the count depends on you. So tell Ted to go tell below. Mark it down on your calendar. Since it's 2021, this one's for everyone.
Wait, why you look so mashed up? Like clothes at the washer?
No, but just a hard day.
What? Hard day? What happened? The breakfast lady ran out of tuna and gritsy.
We need to start joking with everything, you know. This serious, boy. This real serious, boy.
Wait, what's serious? Tell me.
All right, well, today, boss gave this boy one big, big contract. And nobody else get a chance and nobody say nothing.
Boy, you know that ain't right. You know government contracts ain't supposed to go that way.
Yeah, but nobody saying nothing. Boss man just tell people to sign the papers. Then he sent me to meet this boy downtown and collect this envelope.
You need to tell somebody. You need to become a whistleblower.
You know I's a real man, but I never blow no whistle. I be drunk all my life in Junkano.
No way. A whistleblower is someone who tells people what they see when they see something wrong happening at work.
But I ain't no whistleblower, and I ain't no snitch. I still wait there, you know.
But ain't nobody gonna know it's you. All you gotta do is call Crime Stoppers, or you could text them from inside the Crack Crime Bahamas app. They don't ask about you, and your call goes straight through to Miami, so nobody know you is. And if you text, your message get mixed up like Kong Salad.
Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good yawning and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. And good morning again to my guest, Deborah Deal from the Bahamas Chamber of Commerce and Employers Confederation.
Yes, it's great to be here, and I'm enjoying this conversation. I'm looking forward to this next part, though, which is on energy and how we can kind of relate that to COVID if we want to.
Absolutely. But let me get to a couple of these texts just here. Text says, Miss G, where is the pothole authority? Every road, people leaving their lanes to go in my lane, so I got to pull over. How we get like this? In USA, the wreck is to clear debris, then build the insurance company. Yes, see, there are systems that we can use because the insurance company come in for their money. So you don't have to worry about not getting paid, right? Because the insurance company come in for their money, so you could get your money. And so if there's anybody out there wondering what they're going to do for employment over the next 10 years... How about a traffic accident and road management and debris cleanup company that liaises with government and the Wrecker Association of the Bahamas? Not the wrecking, you know, because some of us are still wrecking whole systems, but the Wrecker Association.
Well, also some people have had a little bit of a leeway with their insurance, right? Because they've, you know, but a lot of things that you didn't have to have, like until you got your car license, you didn't have to, you know, get your car license during COVID. So maybe some cars may not have insurance. It may not have been paid up. So when you go to make a claim, if they haven't paid up, the insurance company's not going to pay out. So these are things that you kind of have to think about too while we get ourselves back to so-called normal.
Yes, please make
everybody
sure you pay your insurance.
Yeah, and everybody check to make sure that you're good.
And that's why the government said, look here, you could be on the road without a license, but pay that insurance. Because it's about taking care of other people and making sure that you are not disadvantaging or destroying somebody's life through recklessness and carelessness. Mm-hmm. Okay, another text. Aaron, I wish these closet F&Ms would stop making excuses for government. We don't have enough in country to get vaccinated. stop blaming me for not being vaccinated. Well, I don't really want to get into that part right now. I will say, though, it is disingenuous of some actors to suggest that it's people not getting vaccinated as opposed to a lack of vaccines and their availability and a lack of information necessary to make the relevant decisions. Like I say, for people who travel for business, which vaccine I take is an important determination. Another text, someone need to talk to these banks about being their brother's keepers. All of these banks may be in big problems after the people pay off their loans. Many banks treat their customers like criminals over COVID, and the government did very little to assist. Well, let's just say that we do need a comprehensive and substantive response to the economic and banking crises experienced during COVID, and there has not been a sufficient response as of yet.
I see another problem that's going to occur. So let's say you're a contractor and you just signed on a contract to build a house maybe 2 months ago, and now all of a sudden plywood that used to be like $29 a sheet is now $70 to $100 a sheet, but you have a fixed price contract. Where do you have a clause in there where if, you know, prices change, that you're able to actually change that? How is that going to work with the bank? Is the bank going to give you any leeway? How is that all going to work? Because I can see a lot of contractors, not because of they're not good contractors, having to walk away from a contract because everything to build that house has gone up 100% or 200%. How is that going to work? That is going to be another real problem in not only this country, in every country.
Deborah, is there a contractors association?
There is.
Mm-hmm. Do they have regular meetings?
Yes, they do.
Okay, cool.
Michael Pratt is the head of it right now.
Awesome. Mm-hmm. Dear Contractors Association, please start putting out a guild or newsletter and writing articles about things like this, right?
Right.
Because people need to know that they need an act of God, or in my case, I like to call it an act of mother clause. Like when I sell mangoes, mm-hmm. I need an act of mother clause, because if my mother eats the mangoes, both you and I, the customer, we lose and she wins.
Right. So your contract is so important that you sign, whether you are the person who's building the house or the contractor and the bank. When I first started building, it was the bank, the client, and the contractor all signed an agreement together because it was a vested interest to make sure that that project actually came to fruition.
Okay.
What happened was banks stopped being a part of it because they didn't like the fact that people were walking away from their mortgages. So they left basically the contractor and the client on their own. So it's made it very, very, truthfully, I will not build a house for anybody if you're going to a bank. I will only build it if you have your own equity, because I will not deal with the fact that the bank will not support. I had a job where the bank actually gave the last payment to the client and not to me, because the client was their customer. I was not. So I ended up having to try to find the funds to finish to pay my people off for the job, because the bank said, we don't have a contract with you. There's a lot of things in construction that there's certain things that I will not do any longer, because I'm not gonna get myself in that situation. And I'm sure I'm not the only person who's been in that situation.
Another conversation for another time, absolutely necessary one. Okay, very quickly, Ms. Green, I give up, because when y'all drive around Nassau, y'all ain't seeing what I see, and these people ain't wearing masks. No, I think we seeing what you seeing. Mm-hmm. People are not wearing masks. I agree with you. Erin, at least you all in Nassau can switch to the other side of the road to avoid potholes. On the island of South Andres, both sides of the roads have craters. That's why I thought the government made helicopters duty-free. For people in Andres and Long Island and Ragged Island and Eleuthera and Mayaguana and Inagua and Exuma and Cat Island and San Salvador to avoid the port. Did I miss anywhere? Long Key, Berry Islands, Moores Island. No, in Moores Island, they have athletes, and they jump over the potholes. And our national Olympic team thanks you.
I'm still wondering about that one.
All right, Deborah, I got two calls on the line. Let's get to one of these calls. Caller, you're on the clock. Good morning, caller. Oh, I'm sorry, caller. Good morning, caller. You're on the clock.
Yes. Good morning, ladies.
Good morning, sir.
Much respect.
Thank you.
Debbie, I normally agree with a lot you normally bring to say. But this morning I have a little issue. I take issue with just something you say.
Okay.
Just a little issue. It ain't no big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's simple. Over the years, the successive government mm-hmm. party, let's say the party,
right.
have induced the people in more ways than the people could imagine.
Mm-hmm.
Induced in a sense that the people did not question for 25, 30 years why some islands didn't have proper schooling.
Correct.
Okay, so when you're dealing with a people who are kept back by mm-hmm. their own system, their own two-party have been, you know, governing, mm-hmm. Whether it's good or bad. And for me, and 50,000 Bahamians unemployed this morning, and those of us who have the ability to go to work
mm-hmm.
and are not and starving and fighting on the radio as if we are cheap and nothing, when we are the sovereigns, the ones who have made, you know, I'm in 73, and I'm not going to keep y'all. I'm in 30 seconds.
Thank
I'm
you.
Gone. In 73, well, between 67 and 73, the major concern for the foreigners was if the new government was going to tax, what type of tax? We're talking about in 2021, corporate tax?
Okay.
I don't understand what I said that you didn't agree with. What did I say? I didn't get that part.
The caller is gone. Oh. I see we have another caller. Quickly, caller, you're on the clock.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. Pleasant day to you both.
Good morning.
I am tuning in to make a contribution regarding the point that was made about roads, grading of the roads, et cetera.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
I would want to believe that we should have a standard that the thickness of the road should be a certain depth.
Yes.
Whether it's going to be a quarter inch, 2 inches, 4 inches. Next thing, the leveling of the road. When the road is completed, it should be level. It shouldn't be wavy.
Mm-hmm.
And I would want to also think that there should be inspectors that after the road has been paved, someone inspect to see if it was done according to a standard. Next concern also with that road is that if the road is to be paved, fully paved, I don't think it should be patched the day before because I believe it's be paid for to be patched and then graded to be paved. So that's my concern. I'm hoping that the people who are responsible will have that in place to give us value for our money.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I do believe that if you are going to redo a road, and basically those roads would be a government road, right?
Yeah.
It would be the Bahamian road. It wouldn't be a private road.
Yeah.
That they would be done through the Ministry of Works and Public Utilities. So they would actually have to submit, I would assume,
a plan.
A plan or, you know, get a permit to actually dig that road up and do it. And make sure that all the utilities are also on board with the same thing and redoing it. And I would imagine that the government plant would be the one that would provide the hot mix. And there is actually a standard as to what roads can be done mm-hmm. or should be done.
Absolutely.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you for that contribution. Mm-hmm. I can understand mm-hmm. why he felt compelled to make that statement because I've seen far too many subcontractors, right, mm-hmm. working in substandard conditions.
Correct.
For instance, wearing slippers. Right? Or using handheld tools to tamp down the mix that's just been applied versus a mechanical tool.
Right. That's definitely in patching.
Right.
Yes.
And I have concerns about the construction of the fill and whether the correct weight, right? So that mm-hmm. the road can...
It's tamped properly.
Right. And so that the large size vehicles can traverse the roadway without damaging the infrastructure underground. Right? These are things that I think may not be quite under control right now, as we can see with the persistent and consistent patching across the island and the frequent deterioration of said jobs, right? But let's put that on the side. Mm-hmm. Quickly, we got about 9 minutes. Okay. Let's talk about tips to protect your appliances and your home from scheduled and unscheduled power outages.
Yeah, we had an unscheduled one on Saturday. And the frustrating part is, and I'm sure everybody gets frustrated with it, and I'm sure there must be a reason why. You know, if when something trips, I always wonder, because in my house, if something trips, it's because I wasn't using something properly. I tried to plug two things into a circuit when only one could be done. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so Saturday, we had a power outage. I don't have water when the power is out, so I was unable to do the dishes and mop and all the things that I wanted to do. But anyway, let's leave that alone, and let's go with the fact that most people, when they build a house, you get a ground rod that goes into the ground. It'll go, I think it's like 12, 15 feet, something like that, it goes down. And what it does is it actually grounds your house so that it is protected from major surges. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, because we don't like the look of it, because it's a metal thing and it's got wires and it's got these nubby things, and when you walk around, if you're in flip-flops, you stub your toe. So, you know, we bury that. We think, okay, well, I'm just going to cover this. We're going to landscape. We're going to put, maybe a foot of soil and fill on top of this so that we don't see this, right? Right. So then all of a sudden, when the lightning strikes your house or something happens and you have a major problem in your house, you go, BPL. What have you done to me? What have you done to me? And the BPL comes and they dig like they're digging for gold. And eventually they will find your ground rod, which is not effective because you've buried it. It's not doing what it's supposed to do.
So how many inches above the ground should it sit?
It should sit above the ground so that you can physically see it.
So about 6 inches above the ground?
I would say so, yes.
Okay, cool, cool.
Yes.
Now, can I put my own ground rod in? I tired of electricians that don't show up and technicians that don't do what they say they're going to do. Can I put it in myself, or do I need a technician?
I am terrified of electricity. I would never do that myself.
Okay.
But it's also, can you imagine hammering down a metal rod 12 to 15 feet in the ground? Can you imagine what it takes to actually do that?
So you need a construction team.
You need somebody who could actually do that properly. And then you need to connect the wires to your system.
Okay, so it's not just a standalone rod in the ground.
No. It's connected to your house. And, you know, a lot of problems that people have is because you've had a house that's 25 years old, you don't know where the ground rod is anymore. And these are the kind of things that can really create a problem, because BPL take the brunt of the blame, although they're not to blame at all. And then they come and they tell you, ma'am, this is the incident. And what happens is that, ma'am, you know, this is the incident, it's because you don't have this, never gets out in public domain. The public need to understand that a lot of our problems and a lot of the reasons that our appliances and our home can get damaged is because this is the number one thing you need to do first before you worry about conserving energy. Make sure your house is safe.
Now, what if I'm a tenant? Right? What if I'm a tenant?
Then you better need to speak to your landlord and say, I'm concerned about this. I've been reading about this. Please show me where it is. Right? I need to know. Yeah. Right? And if they don't, then you need to find a really new landlord. Because honestly, the landlord is also, you are renting the inside. The landlord is responsible for outside. So, you know, the landlord really would need to actually make sure that they protect their home as well, because you can have instances where you get surges where your outlets will just blow out of your walls. I mean, you can get major problems from your ground rod and lightning. So it's really essential.
It's the number one.
It's the number one thing, and it has nothing to do with BPL. It has to do with the fact that when you landscape, there's no reason why you can't take a PVC pipe, let's say a 6-inch PVC pipe, and cut it, uh-huh. Right? Maybe a foot. And you put it above the ground so that your ground is protected, and you put the fill and everything around it. You can even put a cap on that if you want to.
But don't put it underground.
But don't put it underground.
Now, Deborah, quick question, right? Especially for young people, anybody at BTVI who have their radio on, mm-hmm. with the viability of an industry or a space in the industry, should we be encouraging young women and men to start a company? Is this a company worthy to go around, inspect homes? Do you have a rod? Is it properly installed?
All of those things are great, but is somebody going to pay you for that?
Well, this is it. This is what I'm saying. Right. Is it viable in terms of construction, the rate of new construction going on in the country? Is this something I could tell young people to think about as a part of a career?
You know, there's so many ways of making it a career, but a lot of times people just don't want to pay for the service,
I get
right?
You.
Like somebody will say, well, if you're going to go do solar for your home, right, you really need to have somebody come in and tell you how much you're using and how much you need to reduce your energy. And a lot of companies will pay for that. A lot of people don't want to pay for that.
Yeah. You but it's worth it in the long end?
To me, it's worth it. Run. You know, in most countries, you actually have to have somebody come in and do that, you know?
Right. And maybe that's what we need. Maybe we need a space for inspectors. We need to create this small part of the industry where professional inspectors come in to verify that everything that should be done.
Right, like there are building inspectors that come in, like, I won't say names, but there are building inspectors that will come in and they will act as a representative between the bank and the client, right? Maybe we need to have a conversation with them and ask them if they would like to add on to what they do, mm-hmm. these other things that once the home is built, you know, for people that have older homes, that maybe you just bought a house that's 15, 20 years old and you want to find out these things, right? Maybe what they should do is they should advertise that we also do this. When you buy your home, if you need somebody to come in and make sure that this is right and that is right, mm-hmm. you could actually do that, right?
All right. Yeah. Deborah, I'm almost all out of time. Kermit, Uh-oh. Let's go to this caller. Caller, you get 30 seconds.
This is Dark Universe along with...
Good morning, Bremen. I got 30 seconds
okay,
for you.
What I want to ask, right? Two questions.
Yeah.
First, I need some limbs to be cut from over my roof, right?
Okay.
There are the tree and the other in the boundary, I should say, right?
Okay.
So where can I find somebody who can do that? And secondly, right?
Mm-hmm.
Why is it that on weekends, especially when you call the police, people be disturbing your property, they doesn't come? What do you do in a situation as such?
Okay, so in a situation like that, what you have to do is you have to write the officer responsible, like the ASP in charge of your district. And if you get no action from there, then you got to
go to a police station.
The commissioner of police.
I would go to a police. If somebody's not answering.
Well, I try to get to the police. I try to get to the commissioner a lot of time, right? Mm. Every time I go there, they will say, "Well, he's busy."
You got to get his email address, and you got to write him, and because by email it's documented.
Yes.
But listen, I gotta go, Bremen. You see, that's my music. So, Debbie, I got this.
Yes.
So, a couple more texts. Did she say plywood went from $28 to $70?
Yes. You can buy it at one store out west that is doing a VAT thing, and it's $59 at their store right now.
All right.
Yes.
With the VAT hurricane.
Yes.
Holiday. Mm-hmm. Another text. It's 8 feet for ground rod. Some electricians go 10, but 8 is in the code book.
Perfect.
I am an electrician. Improper grounding caused computer damage, mm-hmm. and computers are most vulnerable devices in
right.
your home.
Thank you, caller, because I wasn't exactly sure how far down.
But thank you very much. Last text. Someone need to talk about these banks. Ms. Green, talk about the bank and government treatment over COVID. Thanks. We will talk about systems and... systems that could have been implemented to support bank customers and support bank management right during the time of COVID. I think it's an absolutely necessary discussion. People need more certainty around their personal finances and the national banking and economic platform, without a doubt. Thank you for that, Texter. We are right on the hour. But I want to say, Ms. Deal, thank you very much for emphasizing, right? Because I didn't realize it. Step
mm-hmm.
number one
yes.
for... home preparedness, mm-hmm. energy conservation, and protecting your property and appliances from power surges
yes.
is making
and
sure,
lightning
and lightning strikes
mm-hmm.
is making sure that your ground rod is properly installed.
Right.
When I have you back, we're
mm-hmm.
going to go to number 2, number 3, to number 5 on that list of things
okay.
you need to do to protect your property
Perfect. Thank
during
you.
The summer.
Mm-hmm.
We are all out of time. It's been a pleasure having you here.
It's been a pleasure being here.
And thank you for bringing your expertise from the Chamber's Energy and Environment Committee today.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning into The Conversation Bahamas. Tomorrow we're going to have Chelly Moss, and we're asking the question, are we really independent? Stay tuned. Levon Miller and Unleashed is up next. Have a great day, Bahamas.